Welcome to this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. This podcast is hosted by Mark van Horek and myself, Elias Krum. We're both from Marketing Guys, a MarTech agency based out of the Netherlands. Today we have on the Marketing Technology Podcast, Jelmer and Jelmer, Jelmer Koppelmans and Jelmer Zuidema. They're both the co-founder at Roadtrip Agency, a recruitment marketing firm that has been founded a couple of months ago. Welcome, Jelmer and Jelmer.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us, Elias.
It's a pleasure having you here. Jelmer, Koppelmans to start with, could you give us a little info on your background and why you decided to co-found, start with other Jelmer, Roadtrip Agency?
Sure. Yeah. No, my background is actually more in software development. So I started my career at Blendl, which is a Dutch startup in journalism, where I was a product manager. I was there for 4 years, and afterwards I joined what was then named Recruits and now named Wunderkind. And there I helped build the advertising technology, so the real kind of back end that you don't see when you interact with the product, but more on how do we make sure that we get the most out of our budget on advertising. And it was very interesting. I learned a lot. I met some great people, and one of them was Jelmer. And we both found that there's a lot more than just how to get the cheapest cost per applicant or the cheapest click. There's a lot more than just that. So we wanted to broaden our scope, and we work with clients actually quite a lot in the last couple of last year, I would say. We also like that a lot, so we decided to broaden our scope to more than just clicks and also working with customers. And we are both very fond of marketing and recruitment, so it was a great kind of combination to join those in a in an agency called The Roadtrip. And we help with actually a little bit more than just advertising. We help with the entire recruitment marketing strategy and how to get more value from your recruitment tech products.
Cool, cool. So, and other Jelmer, so Jelmer Zuidema, you have kind of a joint background. Is there something you'd like to add here, Jelmer?
I think we have a joint background. I think my background is less in software development and more in communications. So I'm more focused on advertising, and at Wunderkind, I was more focused at partnerships and clients. So we decided to combine that and start up Roadtrip.
Cool, cool. So, Jelmer Koppelmans, so I have to say your last names because
yeah, you can also say we usually do like Jelmer 1 and Jelmer 2. So Zuidema is the older one, so he's the one, and I'm gonna have to do with number 2, but that's fine.
Okay. Well, let's stick to number 2 then. you mentioned you help companies with their recruitment strategy. There's actually a lot of companies that, of course, claim to do so. But in my opinion, the recruitment industry or HR industry seems a little old-fashioned when you're looking at the marketing efforts or the marketing stack that they are using. Can you elaborate a little on what you think you do different and why Roadtrip Agency was actually founded?
For sure, definitely. So. I think I agree with you for a big part, actually. I think definitely if you look at how marketing blends into recruitment, or maybe even how it doesn't at the moment, there isn't a real big influence from e-commerce marketing into recruitment. Although it's getting there, but it's still a long way to go. So normally what you see is that people that are coming from recruitment, they have a kind of they like marketing, so they go from recruitment into marketing and they kind of go from there. But I think what makes it a little bit different is that we are both marketeers and we very much like the recruitment industry, so we have a very different background. Our background is more in e-commerce marketing, and I think e-commerce marketing is a way ahead of the recruitment space. So that's one of the things we do differently. And then secondly, we are both very much fond of going from insights to improvements. It's kind of our motto. So we don't believe in the shiniest tools or the newest tools or whatever. We are very keen on making sure we understand what's currently happening on your career site, for example, see how the application flow is doing and actually get numbers on conversion, for example, and go from there and choose the tools that are actually suited best for solving the challenge that the company currently has, instead of just choosing the fanciest.
Okay, so just for our listeners that are not in recruitment or the recruitment industry or not familiar with HR marketing, what does a typical HR marketing cycle look like, according to you?
So the thing which kind of differentiates recruitment from maybe e-commerce is that if you compare this to we frequently compare it to buying pizzas. If you advertise for a pizza company, there are a couple of differences. One is that people often eat more pizza then they change their jobs, so the kind of the life event that is changing your job is very different than eating a pizza or ordering a pizza. So the frequency that you have in conversion events is a lot less. That's one of the things. Another very big important thing is that there are so many more processes that are actually after the conversion. So if a candidate converts, he applies on a career site, there is a whole bunch of processes and people and organizations maybe even that come into play to even eventually get this person hired. And there is such a big difference there is that not every conversion then is a good conversion. So if I deliver you 100 candidates and they have a very low cost per application, but they all suck, then nobody's going to be very happy. And it's different than maybe in e-commerce marketing, where conversions, the total conversions are more important than maybe the quality of conversions.
Okay, so could one say that the typical application cycle more looks like a B2B conversion than a B2C conversion?
I would totally agree with that. I think that in a B2B conversion, you look at marketing qualified leads, sales qualified leads, and I think that the process is more elaborated, and I think it suits the recruitment scene more. I think that with the sales cycle or the B2B cycle, it's again more focused on quantity. So you want more leads and you want more prospects to get more money. Mm-hmm. And with applicants, it's still focused on having the best. So if you, for instance, with your B2B focus on only enterprise clients, then the process would look a bit more similar than B2C. I would agree.
Absolutely. So it's a longer sales cycle. The lead qualification or candidate qualification in this case, it has more to do with the way we qualify B2B leads. And there's a saying that we have in MarTech, it's getting the right message to the right people at the right time. What you basically would expect in recruitment marketing is getting the right message to the right candidate at the right time. And I don't see that happening a lot within that industry. Am I right? Or am I just missing something here?
Well, there are definitely companies that do so. There are a couple of people in the industry that are very much inspirations, but definitely in kind of more mass scale recruitment, it's very much only kind of pushing and like, this is a job, apply here. And it doesn't explain maybe why the company is such a great company to work for, what are the benefits of the job. It's very much kind of pushy sales instead of maybe more authentic marketing. And I think that works for some industries, but definitely not for the more industries like IT or like the industries that have way more scarcity.
And I also think that a lot of companies do this because recruitment is still an ad hoc decision. They see someone leave and they need someone new really fast, so they just start up the marketing cycle, and they start at not even awareness of consideration. They start with making sure that the candidate immediately takes action, and I don't think that that's the best way to do it. And we always advise to start with a bit more awareness phase, make sure that candidates know your company and make sure they are interested in working at your company, because it will help you in the next faces. It will help the recruiter by explaining why this company would suit him or her. And I think those are the main differences that you can apply if you don't have an ad hoc process, but plan ahead?
So it's a cycle you want to have continuously running. Basically, what you're describing here is a funnel, which we use a lot in B2B, of course. So you'll start with the awareness phase and end somewhere with the conversion. And that's, I would say, a very good way of looking at the recruitment process. But still, I think a lot of recruiters or companies are still focused on that just conversion phase and say, hey, I need someone now, and let's put this job description online on LinkedIn and have people react to it. And then we start the hiring process, where you basically are saying, hey, no, you should start somewhere on top in this awareness phase, which sounds to me like a very logical process. Do you have, let's say we have listeners now that know they are in IT and or they are in some market that is growing fast and they need people continuously. What could you share some best practices for them? Maybe I don't know which Hjalmar I should ask this.
Well, we both have best practices, so that would work for both.
Okay, maybe you want to take this, Hjalmar, too.
Hey, that's not true. I'm the only one. But hey, it's a little bit confusing. But to be honest, I think that we already spoiled one of our best practices. It's keep engagement with your candidates. Make sure that your recruitment is not an ad hoc process. Make sure that you keep writing your blogs. Make sure that you engage with candidates. Ask them what they think of your blogs. And also make sure that you point out people within your company who know your audience. If you are looking for a PHP developer, why would you have a recruiter or a content marketer write the content? Make sure that the PHP developer is involved in hiring your next PHP developer. It will only increase the engagement and will make sure that you will come over as an authentic company that really wants to help or wants to hire the PHP developer instead of just using his skills. So it's about authenticity. And also about respect. Make sure that you treat people with respect, because the internet is a very big place of reviews. And if you don't treat people with respect, you will end up on Glassdoor or on Blind with awful reviews.
So I want to dig a little more into this engagement, because what you're saying is let's stay engaged with your potential candidate. So what the general practice that I'm seeing in recruitment is that once there is a vacancy, all marketing machines start to work, email marketing blasts are being sent out, everything is put on job boards. But what you're saying is a little different. So apart from writing a blog post, how can they manage this engagement? How do they practically start doing this?
I think it's starting kind of slow and know where you come from is very important. So know what your current state of affairs is, know how your current application flow is working, and kind of start with analyzing what you currently have and go from there, I would say.
Yeah, and I also think that one of the best practices that probably is also very known among all marketing guys is making sure that you can engage with them in a more social way, not only by retargeting them on social, but also by making sure that the job alert is not only consistently sending out jobs. Make sure that you involve the candidate in your business growth or in the parties you have, or I don't know, we both come from a startup, so a lot of words about parties and stuff. And about free beers on Friday. But I think that if you involve candidates in an earlier point than when they need to be involved, so when they need to apply, you will have a few steps ahead of the competition.
So it's about staying on top of mind with your ideal candidates, right?
Exactly. And there are even a few companies within recruitment who have implemented the CRM, and it works for them. And they are able to efficiently send out emails that have been modified to the or catered to the audiences. And I think that's one of the best ways to do it, actually, making sure that you are there when they least expect you.
Yeah, what you see in kind of trends in recruitment is that most people apply either after the summer holiday or after kind of New Year's. It's when people come from back from their holidays and they need to go back to their stupid old job and to their boss. And that's when the moment when you want to make sure that you're in their head and think, oh, wow, yeah, I saw such a great kind of blog from that company. Let's see if they have any open vacancies. And if you are able to kind of position yourself in such a way, you'll spend a lot less also on advertising because it's a lot cheaper to get in applicants, but you'll also get in better applicants. Because I think the people that are currently like the ones you want to reach, the best, they already have a job and you need to really persuade them into working for you. It's not the people that apply the quickest. This is very much a very much like aggregated, but the people that apply the quickest are not always the ones that you want.
Exactly. So that's basically the ones that, so the best people, in my opinion, usually are not searching for jobs actively. You need to approach them, or you need to be top of mind with them in order for them to see you and to have them react to your positions. But now we are talking a little about tools and software, because in the beginning you said, you know, we're not there, we're not about all the shiny new tools and objects, etc. But I cannot imagine that you do everything just using Outlook and sending emails by yourself. So in order to send the right message to the right candidate at the right time, you need to have some kind of a tool set or MarTech stack of let's say software solutions that you are using, right?
Yes, we do have a favorite tech stack, and I think you kind of misunderstood our point. We don't want people to buy the shiniest tools if they don't know for sure that they will need it. That's the big difference. We want to go from insights to improvements, and not from improvements because we have budget. Those are two different things in our opinion. And I think that Jelmer was going to tell our most favorite tech stack, and most of them are free.
Cool. So go ahead, Jelmer. I'm forward to hear what free stuff there is out there for.
Yeah, definitely. There are a couple of different parts of software that we like to use for different parts of our work. We're very big fans of Hotjar or any tools like it to understand a little bit more than just Google Analytics data, but also understand the context that people are in. So we use text recordings a lot to analyze how people use an application form, because there's a lot going on in such a form. It's could be quite complicated. So we want to know exactly what people do, not just in numbers, but also in kind of context. We like their polls because we like feedback, and people giving feedback using like actual quantitative feedback is such a great way to improve your flow. Of course, we're big fans of analytics tools like Google Analytics. We come from a very much, we both come from a very much of an advertising background. Mm-hmm. So one of our favorite tools or favorite platforms actually is Facebook, because it allows you to quite visually inspire people for vacancies. Mm-hmm. You compare it to the kind of status quo, which is job boards. They're very much focused on just text, and it's very hard to tell a story using tools like platforms like Facebook. That's a lot better. I'm probably missing a whole lot. Maybe Yoma One can jump in as well.
Of course, I think that you have laid the foundation of what we use. We currently are using Google Analytics as an analytics platform because it's cheap and easy to understand, and we don't want to be involved for a lot of years when setting up things like this. So we just refer them, or we refer recruiters or recruitment teams to the courses that Google offers. Hotjar is a nice tool. I think that with a lot of companies that are using WordPress or other kinds of websites, there are there's a huge potential in a lot of plugins to make sure that your website runs better, that you can measure what you want to measure. And to be really honest, I think that every situation needs a different tech stack, but we find out what we need along the way once we have the insights. And based on the insights, we can make recommendations for tools. And sometimes they are not as cheap as you would like Marketo or HubSpot. Those are expensive tools for small businesses. But for huge corporates, it's a huge efficiency. It makes the process a huge, I don't know how to say it in English, efficiency slug.
It makes it a little more efficient.
Yeah, it's way more efficient. So, but actually to jump in there, you mentioned some marketing automation tools like HubSpot and Marketo. And from the perspective where you say you want to have like this database of prospective candidates and you want to manage them and basically put them sounds a little awkward here, but you would like to have them in this funnel in different layers. So you have some people in the awareness or top of funnel, middle of funnel, bottom of funnel phase. So the bottom of funnel is more towards applying to a job already, but the awareness phase, top of funnel, are the people need to be inspired. But if you have like a lot of people in that database, you need to have some kind of tool to manage all that. And what I've seen in recruitment practice is that marketing automation is a great use there. So tools like you've mentioned, but also customer data platforms are in place there. So I've seen all kinds of platforms like Segment or Blueconic, the Dutch version of a CDP, in place because you are from an advertising background, but if you're using a CDP, it would enable you to the nice word omni-channel approach those the people. So serve them an ad on Facebook when they're in the awareness phase, or send them an email at the right time, or show them the right message on the website at the specific time. But that's all when you have huge databases. When you have smaller databases, probably the stack you mentioned also works. But you need some kind of a way to reach out through advertising, online personalization, or an email marketing, right?
Agreed. And I also think that a lot of the things that you are now mentioning are still next steps for the recruitment departments.
Absolutely.
But there are quite a few software companies that are building tech stacks, specifically for recruitment. We are in good contact with, for example, the applicant tracking system, Smart Recruiters. Mm-hmm. And they are basically building an OS, an operation system, where all other systems can just plug in. So they are basically building the Salesforce for recruitment marketing, and those are improvements in the market that we are really happy to see.
Cool. Yeah, so the whole recruitment ecosystem or recruitment marketing ecosystem is starting to evolve luckily.
Cool. Yeah, definitely. You see that the ATSs, which are kind of the backbone of recruitment teams, so ATSs are, I wouldn't say a CRM platform, it's a lot more than that, but for people not in recruitment, it's kind of like a CRM system. It's where you get your candidates in. It's where you kind of track their progress and the application flow. And eventually, it's the last step. The last step is hiring them, and it all happens from the ATS. And you see that these ATSs are becoming, they're offering marketplaces. So Recruity, which it's our friends at Recruity, which a Dutch startup just launched their marketplace. Smart Recruiters has a marketplace for quite a while. And you see that there are people actually kind of integrating with the backbone, as in the ATS of the company, using these marketplaces. And that's a very interesting approach, because the ATS is usually a step later than the application, or it's always a step later than the application. So I find it quite an interesting way of thinking for a lot of recruitment teams.
Okay, so just for the listeners, and I might have missed it, but ATS is an applicant tracking system, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So you might have explained it, but I might have missed it. But we talked a lot about the way recruitment should work, recruitment marketing should work, the tools that could be used. But you have an extensive background, both of you actually, in recruitment. So you must also have some learnings there. What should listeners absolutely not do when they're starting recruitment marketing?
It's a little bit harsh, but I would say start advertising. I think before you do anything, you want to actually very much understand what's currently happening on your career side. There must be people already on there. Be very well aware of what's happening already there, how your conversion rate is. All those kind of metrics are very important to understand what you'll do in advertising. But I'll definitely start with that, and then combine that with spending time on creating a persona. This is super common in marketing and in software development, but not so much in recruitment. And definitely because recruiters sometimes aren't domain experts on the vacancies they're trying to fill. It's super valuable to talk with people that are actually already in the position that you're trying to fill, and understand what drives them, that motivates them, and build your content, for example, based on their stories. And only after that you set such a good foundation, start with advertising.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. I think that if you build your persona, you know your audience, then you can start building a community. And it's way easier to ask someone to join your community than to send them a job and expect them to apply. It's about the personal approach, I think.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, I've actually heard a lot of tips here, and I think listeners will be glad to use them. So Jelmer 1 and Jelmer 2, so Koppelmans and or Zuidema, Jelmer 1 and Koppelmans number 2. Thank you very much for being on the Marketing Technology Podcast. I'd love to have you back in, let's say, half a year when you're a little further in your business, and I'd like to hear your experiences that you built up during these Corona COVID times. Well, thanks again for being on the podcast, guys.
Thanks so much. It was an honor.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes and subscribe to our channel. Also, if you would like to be a guest on the show, or if you know anyone that should be a guest of our show, drop me an email through e.crum@marketingguys.nl or take a look at the website marketingguys.com. Thanks for listening.